Assalamu alaikum, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. If you're new here, my name is Mihad, and I'm the host of this show, Wherever You're At, a podcast where we focus on self-improvement through Islam and just generally girl talk. So this is week one of my Ramadan series. It's going to be like a four-episode series. And every week I'm going to do like a check-in with you guys. How's Ramadan going? How's mine going? Things I've learned, all this kind of stuff. So let's get right into it, shall we? I always like to start with like a recap of like my life or what I've been doing. That way, like when I'm talking, you guys actually have context of like why I'm saying what I'm saying or doing what I'm doing. So basically, how was my first week of Ramadan? It's been crazy. It's been crazy for real. This is my first Ramadan moved away, like moved out of my family house, out of my childhood state, out of literally everything I know. So definitely before Ramadan, I was super anxious about that. Not gonna lie. And I'm still anxious about it. Let's be for real. But let me tell you what I've been doing, okay? So Ramadan started, what, like on Sunday? Alhamdulillah, I've been to Tarawih every single night. Alhamdulillah, I am able to do that, and I am glad to do that. What else? Okay, iftar-wise, I have been cooking iftar, but I can't lie, guys. I am someone who does not have a good relationship with food, so, like, if I'm craving some, like, I'm a binger. I'm a binger strict girl. Unfortunately, I'm trying to fix that. Like, I'll restrict myself. I should do a whole episode about my relationship with food, honestly. But what I'm trying to say is that I restrict myself all day, and then as in like, oh, I should eat this because it's healthy, or I shouldn't eat this because it's not healthy. And then I end up not eating enough, and then at night I just go ballistic. And so Ramadan has been triggering that for me because I'm so hungry through the day that my brain is just like, you've been starving all day, so you should reward yourself. You should get Wingstop. You should get the junk food and everything because it counts. Like, you are being healthy. Ugh! I'm trying to get out of the loop of that because we've had Wingstop 2 days in a row, and that's just not good. Like, we finished the meal so, like, nauseous and feeling bad because it was, like, really unhealthy. It does not sit right. But anyways, alhamdulillah for iftar every night, alhamdulillah. And then what else? I'm gonna actually tell you guys a day in my life because I'm just trying to wrap my mind around like what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. Okay, so like y'all know, I stepped into the role of a stay-at-home wife in January, literally January 1st. Had to be iconic with the date like that. And I feel like I've pretty much figured out like how to go about my day-to-day life like in January and February. But now that Ramadan hit, and now that I'm not making breakfast / lunch for me and my husband, and not having the energy to like go out or like clean the house or do things that I like, I am rotting, y'all. Like, I'm rotting, unfortunately. Okay, I'm gonna give you guys a day in life, but please don't judge, okay? Okay, so Here's how it goes. It starts off, I am a suhoor eater. I've figured out that apparently a lot of people just don't eat suhoor. Like, they'd rather sleep. And I don't know how y'all do it, because if I don't eat suhoor, I'm like very, very hungry through the day. So I start off with suhoor. We've been waking up at like 6:10 a.m. Abdurrahman, my husband, just likes to down a smoothie that he made the night before, or like dates. Like, he's not a morning eater. And I get it that it's like, not everyone likes to eat like heavy in the morning. I don't even like to eat heavy that early, but I am looking at the long run, and I'm gonna be a lot hungrier if I don't. So I make myself stuff. Actually, the first few days we woke up like 4 minutes before suhoor because we are very like snooze alarm people. So alhamdulillah, yesterday was like one of the first days I actually had like a good 30 minutes to like make suhoor. I think it was like 24 minutes to make suhoor, eat it, and all that stuff. So so we eat suhoor, and then I go back to bed, and then Abdurrahman, like, he's still trying to figure out his schedule, because y'all know, if you follow him, like, you know his schedule be crazy. Like, wake up at 6, go to the gym, go to jujitsu, go to school, go to the gym again, go home, take a nap at night, go, he's just crazy, so he's been trying to figure out when to fit all that exercise in the day. And sometimes he'll go like after Fajr to the gym, or he'll go pray Fajr at the masjid. And sometimes he had such a tiring day the day before that he has to sleep until school. So I sleep either with him or by myself until I have been waking up just at the crack of dawn at like 1 p.m., maybe 2 p.m. sometimes. And it's really bad. It's really bad. If my mom knew that I woke up this late, she'd be so mad. Because obviously she would tell me that that fasting is not about sleeping and that I'm wasting my day. My mom thought when we were growing up, if we woke up any time past 9, the day's gone. The day's wasted. So definitely I have those internal thoughts in my head when I like yawn and stretch at 1 p.m. But I just don't set an alarm, you know, like, and it's crazy because the first 2 months of living here, like I really wanted to have like an early, like living style, I guess, and sleeping early with my husband because he sleeps so friggin' early. And I did that. I would like wake up at 8 and stuff. But what's the point in Ramadan? Let's be for real. I have to have energy at night to pray Taraweeh. So might as well sleep, right? I guess what it is I feel guilty for sleeping that late because I know what it's like to have to wake up for work at like 5 a.m. And I know y'all be doing that too, or like y'all have school, and I'm not doing work or school right now. I'm in like a floating period of my life. So I guess I feel like internal shame a little bit because I definitely feel like, okay, girl, what are you doing with your life right now? Like when I go visit home and people are like, what do you do in Florida? And I'm like, I don't know what I do. But no, I'm definitely not even mentioning the fact that I do a lot. Okay, I do a lot, guys. Okay, I've been focusing a lot on the podcast. I've been growing it. I've been getting back into making content. Like I'm trying to make this more like almost like my job, inshallah. Like not the job I want for the future, but like a job, something that's also getting me an income a little bit. And then obviously we know the stay-at-home wife role and the things they gotta do. So now that I've fought you guys for something you weren't even thinking about, I'm like going back and forth in my head. Like you're hearing my internal battle, like you don't do anything with your life. No, I do stuff with my life. I'm going crazy. As you can tell, I'm going crazy. Let me pause really quick. I need to collect myself. And I know you guys relate because I know y'all be going crazy in your fasts too. Like I know I'm not the only one. But I was talking about my day in the life, okay? So then I wake up around, honestly, I wake up between 11:30 and 1 o'clock, actually waking up, like, good morning, sunshine. The problem is, I have been so addicted to my phone recently because it's like if I can't cook or, like, eat or go out and do stuff, like, I'm going to be on my phone, unfortunately, and I hate it, and I'll talk about that later, but I'm saying that because I do go on my phone for like 2 hours after waking up. Like I have to pray Dhuhr. And then every morning I like to do my hair. I like to put on clothes. Like I know some people like to live in their pajamas and some people like to like fully change. I like to fully change. I mean, I might fully change into pajamas, but I still would like to change. Anyways, that being said, at that point, after rotting for a little bit, it is like 2 p.m., 2:30, okay? And then I'm like, and then I have this burst. Actually, first I don't have a burst of motivation. First, I have like a, wow, you just wasted the day. You didn't do anything. And then I have a burst of motivation to do any and everything. I'm like, wait, maybe I should go to the gym. I have to figure out what I'm going to make for dinner. I should clean. I should do this. And I actually start doing those things. I'm not going to lie. I start doing those things. I went to the gym twice this week during my fast, middle of the day. Why? I don't know. And I'm not going to question it because if I have the motivation to go to the gym, I'm going to go. And I'm not going to question it because why would I do that? Why would I go deep in thought when I can just actually go to the gym and feel good about it after? And then I've been doing this thing, y'all, where between, like I said, the burst of motivation between 3 and 7 p.m., I am like on fire. And I don't mean like I have all this energy. Like I'm very hungry and I don't have much energy, but for some reason I'm on fire. Like actually, I'm going everywhere. I'm going to the store. I'm getting groceries. I'm going to Goodwill. I'm going here. I'm cleaning the living room. I'm deep cleaning the kitchen. I'm recording podcasts. I'm planning podcasts. Like I'm going crazy during that time. And that's so, you know what's so weird? I know as girls, we universally know that like outside of Ramadan, between 3 and 6 is our rotting time. It's like the time where like the sun's going down and we start feeling like really unmotivated and really weird. I don't know if you guys can relate, but I do know people who have like backed this. And for some reason, Ramadan is the complete opposite for me. I'm literally yawning at 3:55 p.m. What have I done with the day to be able to yawn? Anyways, so, like I said, burst of energy between that time. So I've been going places, doing things, going to the gym. And then what I've been doing is I have not been giving myself enough time to actually make a meal. This is time blindness, honestly. But I definitely, for some reason, always think that I can fully finish the meal between like 6:30 and 7:30, and I never can, and I always go over Maghrib time, and then I feel bad that Abdurrahman doesn't have anything to eat and I don't have anything to eat because I'm still cooking. But I've been trying to get in the routine of like making food earlier, or like, but that's the problem, then we started ordering out. But anyways, then I cook, or we order out. We've only ordered out twice though, and then we eat. Me and Abdurrahman eat. We're couch eaters, so we eat on the couch. We have a little coffee table, but there's no room here for our dining table. So we eat iftar, and then we pray, or we break our fast, pray, eat iftar. We usually like to watch something. And then I'm like so exhausted because from 3 to 7, I have not sat down. I don't know why. Like, listen, imagine me going to the gym, I'm not sitting, coming home with tons of groceries, not sitting, putting away the groceries, cleaning the kitchen so that I can cook, cooking, and then I sit, and then I'm like, dang, because Abdurrahman, during 3 to 6, likes to nap, because he's been at school all day, like from 8 to 3, and so I'm like frantically doing everything, and then I'm exhausted after iftar and I have a food coma. So then at that point I'm like, how am I gonna like go to tarawih and like stay up and do this, because I've made the mistake again to like fully not sit for like 4 hours. And then so at that point, like I said, we're on the couch, I'm like exhausted, he's full of energy because he just slept for 3 hours, and then I like to make myself a little drinky drink. Okay, so recently I've been making Edeni tea. And if you guys saw my TikTok, I took you guys with me to make it for the first time. And I tried to make Edeni tea so that I can take it to iftar and like, you know, not iftar, take it to tarawih and like literally romanticize the heck out of tarawih, which I'll talk about later because I love doing that. The thing is, again, time blindness. I sit for too long after iftar and I run out of time to get ready and to make the tea. So now I'm frantically moving again and Abdurrahman's like watching me like I'm a little time lapse, like running through the apartment. And then we leave and we like so far have like not even caught Aisha fully. Like we haven't fully caught the Salat of Aisha, like middle of it or end of it or whatever. And it's my fault. It's my fault. And I feel so bad and I'm trying to fix it because I'm so late. I'm late to everything, to be honest. And then we pray Tarawih. They pray 8 at my masjid. So we pray Tarawih and then Shafar Witr. And then after that, we come home and I have I'm going to call it the Edeni Zoomies. Like I didn't realize how much caffeine was in like Yemeni coffee or Yemeni tea, sorry, because I'm like, I have the most energy I've ever had throughout the whole day. Like Abdurrahman's about to knock out, but I am full of energy zooming around the apartment. The kitchen is a mess because I didn't have time to clean it. Like I said, I ran out and I just can't sleep, right? So what do? Make myself another cup because why not have another drinky drink? And so eventually Abdurrahman can't hang anymore, so he goes to sleep and I'm in the living room and I'm just watching something, calling someone, working on something, making a little midnight snack, and then I accidentally sleep at like 2 a.m right? And that's why I wake up so late the next day. And so that is my current day in the life, which alhamdulillah for, like, I actually thank God every day, because I feel like everyone who used to work like taxing jobs, they would live for like a year off of work if they could, you know what I mean? Like everyone wants to work, but then once they work, they don't want to anymore. And then once you don't work, you want to work again. Humans are so fickle. We always want what we don't have. And don't ask me what fickle means, because I literally don't know what fickle means, okay? I think it means we're weird, or like we're paradoxical. Don't ask me what paradoxical means either. Okay, moving on. I'm getting a little like, not insecure, like anxious about how much I'm like ranting, but also I know you guys are trying to replace music in Ramadan and replace doom scrolling. And so I know you're going to appreciate me making this episode just a little longer for you. So I will continue to rant and yap, because like I said, I'm a yapper. So now that I've told you my day in the life currently, let me tell you my ideal day in the life that I'm trying to get to this Ramadan. So, and I don't have this written down, so I'm going to just talk about it as I go. So ideally, I would wake up probably 11 or 12, even though I'm already kind of waking up at that time. But by wake up, I mean I'm hopped out of bed. I am not doom scrolling for 2 hours. Hop out of bed. I have an hour before Dhuhr. Actually, Dhuhr being later has really helped. Like, I'm not missing Salat when I'm sleeping, you know what I mean? And then my brain's like, why are you even getting up? Like, it's not even Dhuhr yet. Like, you should sleep until Dhuhr. But ideally, I would like to wake up around like 11, 12, maybe even 10, who knows. And I want to get up and I want to have a plan for the day made the night before. Because I do this thing where like I set myself up for failure by like making a to-do list or making like a daily plan the day of. And then by the time I'm done with the to-do list, it's already like the day's over. Look at me sounding like my mom. Anyways, so I would like to start the day with one task, because I've noticed that if I get a task done immediately in the morning, it's a hit of dopamine. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm capable of anything and everything. And then my day is so much more productive and my brain is so much nicer to me. So I would wake up, I would like get ready a little bit. I've been doing gua sha in the morning because I genuinely think my face is so puffy because of all the processed sugars I have. And I want to like combat that with gua sha instead of cutting out sugars, because everything has sugar. But anyways, then I'd like to come to the living room, and then I'm a very visual person, a little bit creative, a little bit artistic, I'll give myself that. I like to open up my sketchbook, and I'm not going to draw, don't worry, but I like to visualize what I want to do. So I literally put the date at the top of the page, March, whatever, and then I just draw what I want to do, or write what I want to do, or like color it, or whatever. And I just love seeing that, because it makes the day more tangible. Like, it makes me feel like I'm gonna accomplish that, inshallah, because I've like written it down. This is the plan, okay? After that, it's probably gonna be Dhuhr time. I'd love to pray Dhuhr on time. And I've been having trouble with Hushur in my Salat, which is the focus. I'd like to sit right before Salat. Just sit on the floor. Sit on the couch, no phone, nothing, and get to a peaceful state, because I've learned that your Salat will go how you enter it as. So if you enter Salat rushed, your Salat will be rushed, your brain will be like all frantic. So I want to enter in a peaceful state so that my Salat is peaceful, right? After that, I want to read Quran immediately. Like, I did this thing in the past where like I always wanted to read the whole Quran in Ramadan, but I don't do it at the beginning of Ramadan, and I get so motivated towards the end, and then there's no time, and then I get unmotivated, because to finish it, I would have to read 40 pages after every Salat by that point. So I want to create a schedule where I actually read a certain amount of pages after Dhuhr and after like Isha when I come home, things like that. So I would have a Quran schedule that I would follow. After that, I would start my day. I would go to the gym, or I would record a podcast, then go to the gym so I can edit it. I would make food before 4 p.m. I'd make food before 4 p.m. and I would just leave it on the stove, because that way I'm not rushed and up for so long, from like 3 to 7, like I talked about earlier. And I never knew why. Like, I knew it was like hard to do all that stuff. But like, go kiss your old mama on the forehead if she is like up and at him all day cleaning and cooking and doing all this for you guys because she loves you. Because my back and my feet were hurting by the end of that. They are hurting by the end of iftar because we're like rushing. And I'm not on the same level as moms. They are way above. But I'm just saying, like, it is very taxing and you don't know until you do it. And so I want to go kiss my mama. But no, it's actually so real how growing up you start to, like, realize how your parents think, why they did what they did, all the struggles they went through. And you start, like, to go through some of them. And then you're like, okay, I want to go cry in a corner because why did I ever treat my parents badly, or why did I ever not give them the appreciation they needed or they deserved? But that's a different topic because we're not going to cry today, right? So, okay, right. At that point, I have made food. It is on the oven, or it's in the oven or whatever. And then I rest, maybe a little nap. At that point, I've been to the gym. I've cooked. I've cleaned. I've done my, like, plans. I've done my Quran. I've prayed on time. At that point, I pray Asr and good night, moon. I am to sleep. I take a nap because at that point, my husband's taking a nap. So why not take a nap with him? And then I wake up a little earlier than Maghrib. I get the food ready. I get my clothes ready for Tarawih. I make a little drinky drink before Maghrib. And then at that point, I'm not as exhausted. And I come and I sit and we make our du'a before breaking our fast because those du'as are accepted. And then the end. Not the end. I'm just kidding. That's when the day starts. But at that point, we eat iftar and then we go to Tarawih. Or we go to Aisha on time, maybe even a little before Aisha, to read a little Quran. And then we pray Tarawih, and we don't pray Shafar Witr because we pray Tahajjud in the middle of the night, and then we pray Shafar Witr to close it off. And maybe a little ice cream after Tarawih, even though I don't like ice cream. Don't think I'm weird. I don't like ice cream or soda or a lot of sweets, unfortunately. And then I don't have the zoomies, or I don't fall into the zoomies. I just do a little planning, a little podcast planning, a little calling my mom, calling my dad, and then I go to sleep semi-early, like 12 a.m., 1 a.m. The end. Oh, I forgot to add a lecture in the middle of the day because, like, when I'm cooking and stuff like that. But other than that, the end. That's the ideal day for me so far. That's the day I'm trying to achieve before the second week of Ramadan hits, because like I said in the podcast before that, I definitely don't want to have like the most ideal Ramadan in just the last 10 days. Like, I want to have it the whole time. So that's me being vulnerable with you guys about how I'm not having like the most ideal Ramadan. And we consume so much social media that's like, day in my life, Ramadan edition, and they're doing so much, and they're like cooking mozzarella from scratch and all that stuff. And you probably feel like me just a little bit, like, okay, what am I doing? What am I doing? Especially those of you that have work and school, like, it's really hard for you to focus on that and feel the spirit and the vibe. But I'm going to get into how I'm keeping the spirit and the vibe this Ramadan. So yeah, that's my day in the life. Ideal edition. Okay, now that I've given you guys context, background, vulnerability, ranting, yapping, and all that stuff, it's time to actually get into the topic of the episode. So the topic of this episode is perfectionism in Islam. And okay, you might be wondering, why did you choose this topic, Mihad? Because I've been struggling with it my whole freaking life. And I have not only been struggling with it in the lens of Islam, but like everything in life. And so I'm going to give you guys a little background in my perfectionism. But first, I'm going to define it, right? Perfectionism to me, and this is like the context that I'm looking at it through, is this vicious, vicious cycle of, okay, so first, I get frustrated if things are not done perfectly. But the problem is, I am hyper aware that that's not possible to do everything perfectly, to have a perfect day, a perfect schedule, perfect anything, literally anything. It's not possible to be perfect in it. But I still can't wrap my mind around the fact that I can't make it perfect. And so I put it off. I put off things that I can't perfect because it frustrates me that I can't perfect them or I can't do them well or right. But by that point, I push off a lot of things in my life. I push off tasks. I push off projects. I push off, like, even things that I want to do. And then when it comes time to do it, and this kind of ties into procrastination, I am so rushed because there's no time to do it anymore that I do a really, really bad job. And then I'm really frustrated. It's either I do a bad job or I run out of time. And then I get so mad at myself for putting it off that it just turns into these very negative bullying thoughts to myself. Like, everyone is beating me up. Everyone in my brain, all the little people and personalities in my brain are beating me up and calling me dumb, calling me stupid. Why'd you put it off? Why didn't you do it? You do this every time. La da 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 da. Okay, you're going to think, what the hell is this girl talking about right now? But you will see, okay? You will see. Perfectionism in Islam is basically not doing something, either putting it off or not doing it or being really unmotivated because you can't do it perfectly, right? So let me give you some examples. Actually, before I give you examples, like I said, I have to give you guys my background in perfectionism. So the root behind why I want to perfect everything is that I have this innate belief that I must get it right the first time. And if I don't, then I am incapable, dumb, and so on and so forth. And so, like I said, that leads to negative self-talk if I can't get it done the first time. Maybe this is something in childhood. Maybe this is something I picked up over time. But definitely ties into the fact that I feel like I have to get it right the first time. And since I know that's not possible, I end up unmotivated to do it. I also get very overconfident of what I can do. Like, I am, like I said, I'm creative. I have huge imagination. So I'm like, and you guys heard my ideal daily life, right? You heard it. So I get so overconfident and I'm like, oh, I want to do this. I want to do this. I can do this. I can do it so good. I can write this many pages. I can clean the whole house. I can do, like, have this, ideal schedule. And I over aim to the point where it's impossible to get it done. And so by the end of the day, I am so disappointed in myself that it's almost paralyzing. It's a paralyzing disappointment that I couldn't do what I said I wanted to do, right? And this has affected school, it's affected Islam, it's affected my work, my friends, literally everything, okay? This idea that what you do has to be perfect. Now, let me dive into why I feel like it has to be perfect. And I actually don't even know. So let this be a little therapy session for me. Why do I think things have to be perfect? Oh, found it. I maybe think that everything has to be perfect because I want other people to be pleased with the product. And I know that if it's perfect, they can have nothing bad to say about it. And I don't do good with people who have bad things to say about me or the things I do. So if I get it perfect, perfectly done, no one's going to have anything bad to say and I don't have to deal with rejection. Wow. That's crazy. Okay. I don't want this to be therapy. Okay. But I, I guess maybe that's where it's rooted from. But I want to give examples to perfectionism in Islam because perfectionism is a trick of the shaitan. It is a trick of the shaitan. And I'm going to explain this. For example, let's talk about salat. I am someone who has always struggled with salat. Like, it's not like the type of worship that comes easy to me. Alhamdulillah, hijab. Like, I don't have the same struggles as girls that, like, feel super ugly in it or, like, the relationship with it is, like, really bad. Alhamdulillah, I've worked on my relationship with my hijab. But my relationship with salat has been something I've struggled with since as long as I can remember, literally since I was a child. It's always just, I don't know if it was, like, something about me, like, maybe my, if I had any, like, ADHD tendencies or, like, I don't know how to explain it. But what I'm saying is it has not come easy to me to pray all five salats or be consistent with it or have khushu' in salat or, like, just even, like, want to pray. Astaghfirullah, but, like, that's the truth, like, in my life. But I have found that the root of the problem was perfectionism for me. perfectionism, like just wanting to do everything perfect and like giving up when it's not perfect, has been the one thing in my life that has like stopped me from like even trying to pray. So alhamdulillah, now I'm at a point where I pray all 5 prayers. I pray them on time, alhamdulillah. Well, not like right when I should, which I'm working on, but like on time, as in I don't miss it as much as I used to. So let me tell you the things I would tell myself back then, like the negative thoughts I would tell myself that were rooted in perfectionism that stopped me from praying. And so inshallah, this can help like anyone who's dealing with like a certain worship or a certain thing in their life where they just can't like give up a sin, or they can't do better because they have these thoughts. And then we're going to reframe them together. Right. So when I used to try to pray, right, because obviously we all know prayer is like, it's literally a pillar of Islam. It is so, so important. And all the sheikhs will always tell you, if you're going to hold on to anything in Islam, hold on to your salat. Hold on to your salat. Hold on to your salat. If anything bad is happening in your life, if you feel super down all the time, they always ask you, okay, are you praying? How is your prayer? What is your relationship with salat? And so I always knew how important it was. And my mom, like, bless her heart, has always been someone to, like, tell us, did you pray? Did you make wudu? Did you wake up? Like, she wakes us up for suhoor. She reminded us for every salat. She told us the importance of it. Anytime we delayed it, she was like, no, don't delay salat. You need to do salat. She has rooted, like, the importance of salat, like, in my brain. Like, it is imprinted in my brain. But that just made it, not that it was her fault, but like it made it kind of hard for me, because like I knew how important it was and I was so annoyed at myself for struggling the way I was. So with salat, I went through all of the phases. I went through the phase where like it's fine, like praying was fine with for me. And then I went through the phase where like I would forget to pray, or like I would miss it, and I would be like really scared of what my parents were going to say when they asked me like, oh, did you pray? And so I would lie and I'd be like, yes, I prayed, to the point where the shaitan convinced me to just not even like say I prayed and then pray later, but to say I prayed and then not pray later. Because this was the time, like I was in high school or like in middle school. And so there's so many things like when you're that young that are way more exciting than Islam, unfortunately. And your mind will be taken away from the things that are important. So I would go through the phases where I lied about it. And then I went through a really like guilt ridden, shameful like phase or spiral. And I feel like this happens with a lot of people when they want to do something so bad, like especially religiously, and they just can't get themselves to do it. And so like you sit in lectures like at Jama'ah or like online, and they're calling like salat the bare minimum, which it is literally the pillar. It's literally a pillar of Islam. Like it is something everyone needs to be doing, and it's not like considered extra. It's literally fard, mandatory. But when you're struggling with something and someone calls it the bare minimum, it's definitely like a slap in the face of like, I can't even do the bare minimum. And like when I do it, it's not like you can't even feel like a little proud of yourself for getting better, because you know it's the bare minimum. You know what I mean? Like, I know you guys get what I'm saying. But so I went through like these phases where like I felt like the imam or the sheikh of the masjid was like talking straight to me when they say like, if you are not praying, like that is so bad, like you need to do better. I just knew how important it was, and I knew that every time I tried to do it, it's not that like I couldn't do it. This is how it would go. Fajr, I would choose sleep. So my mom, I hope my mom's not listening to this. Mama, I'm so sorry. But basically, there would be times when I was younger where she would like come in, ask if I prayed. And since I'm like groggy and half asleep, I'd be like, yeah, I did. She's like, girl, where's the prayer mat? Like, where did you pray? And I'm like, oh, in the corner. You know, I didn't pray in the corner. So some days were like that. And some days I actually did pray. It really depended. And then Dhuhr, I was at school. So when I came back, I was exhausted. And then at that point, when I get on my phone, I have now missed Dhuhr and Asr. And then I start feeling shameful. I'm like, the shaitan is telling me, you already missed these salats. Why would you pray the rest? Why would you pray the rest? So it's very much, if you didn't do it perfectly, if you didn't do all 5, what's the point? So I got in my head so much about what is the point. Every time I tried, I ended up failing. Or like I had this thought where like, I would literally think to myself, why would I try so hard to perfect my 5 prayers today if I know I'm not going to do it tomorrow? Or I know I'm going to mess up again tomorrow. Like I had such a negative mindset about like doing better, because I was really mean to myself. And so that's why I feel like I needed to make an episode about perfectionism because it stopped me from so, like, for so many years to do better in an area of Islam that I was lacking in because I was so mean to myself. And honestly, I didn't know Islam. I didn't know my Lord. And that's what I'm going to get into right now. Knowing who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and what He says and what He thinks of you is necessary, literally necessary for you to be able to do anything in Islam, to be able to have those positive thoughts about yourself. Because all your, like, listen, if you don't know your Lord and you don't know your religion, then all you know is Shaitan's whispers. And he is going to take control of your life. Literally, Shaitan's going to take the wheel. And that's what your life is going to look like because you are not educating yourself on who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and what He says about sinners and what He says about trials and what He says about people who struggle in Islam. All of that is not going to be in your mind and framing positive thoughts because you don't know them. Okay, so what I did was I wrote down some things in Islam that, like, helped me get back into those positive thoughts and get back into a more motivating and healthy mindset about my life and my sins and my good deeds and all that stuff. So the first one is the fact that in Islam we're taught that heaven is full of sinners who repent. So this idea that Jannah is for, like, the most righteous of people, the ones that never sin, like, that's not who we are. Literally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if this world had no sinners, He would wipe us out and replace us with sinners, with people who sin and repent. And so if we know that, and we know that Jannah is full of people who repent, then you can, like, have this thought in your mind instead of, like, okay, wait, I, like, sin so much, I'm never gonna go to Jannah, I'm never going to get better. Focus on your tawbah, focus on your repentance, and focus on at night asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of your sins. Ask Him to forgive. One of the du'as I like is, Ya Allah, please forgive the sins of yesterday, today, and the sins of the future that I don't even know. And it was forgive the sins of yesterday, today, and the future. It's because you're so aware that as a human, you are going to sin. Like, we are weak. To be honest, like, we are weak. We are going to sin. Why? Because we're creatures of desire. We always like to fall into our desires. And the whole test of this world is, what can you give up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And how can you prove that you're the people of Jannah, right? So the other dua I make is, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive the sins that I know of and the sins that I don't know of. Because there are so many things that we do on the daily that we don't even, like clock as sins, but they are, and we need to, like, remember that. So basically what I'm saying is, you just need to be conscious. You need to be conscious that you're a sinner, and you need to not let the fact that you are a sinner completely, like, push you away from Islam. Because maybe if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was someone who, like, is not forgiving, then yes, you can have that mindset. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of His names, the most, like, gracious and the most merciful. The most merciful. Like, we are told all the time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful. He, like, we are going to be shocked on the day of judgment by how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. These are things I learned just by listening to lectures. I have learned this, guys. I'm not even kidding. Like, when you surround yourself with Islam and Islamic knowledge, life becomes so much more easier to digest and understand, right? You become a better person when you're hearing all this knowledge about Islam. And that's why, and we are told that we have to focus so much on actually attaining Islamic knowledge, and why in Islam knowledge is so important. Knowledge is not just for the scholars, y'all. It's literally for us. Like, you know how, I don't know, when I was growing up, like, I found it really weird that a lot of the times in Christianity, like, the only person that knows, like, a lot about the religion is the pastor, or, like, I don't know what it's called, but the speaker, right? But in Islam, like, we have this book in our hands that we have to read. We have these lectures. We have these things that we listen to. We need to utilize it. We actually need to learn about Islam, not just at the masjid, not just from our parents, by ourselves. Find Islam again. One of my favorite things is when you grow up and you find Islam again. Like, you don't have to, like, build on what you had when you were younger. You need to find Islam for yourself. You need to find, what kind of Muslim are you? What kind of person are you? What's going to bring you closer to Islam? What's going to push you away? And just, like, surrounding yourself with that. I don't know if this is making sense. I feel like I'm going on tangents or, like, saying random stuff, but I'm just getting passionate about this because I was like that. Like, I was someone who always thought, like, I can't say Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please forgive my sins, and then do it the next day. Because that's not sincere. And that's true. That's not sincere. However, if I am sincerely asking for forgiveness, I have learned that I can actually ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easier for me to drop a sin. You don't even have to say like, astaghfirullah for doing that sin. You can literally ask your Lord to help you drop the sin. Like, speak to him. Like, you guys all talk about wanting a therapist, right? I talk about wanting a therapist. He is literally right there. There is a Lord that will literally listen to you at any time of day. Your whispers in sujood are heard in the heavens. Isn't that insane? I heard that this week and I was like, oh my God, like actually that's insane. I whisper du'as in sujood with my head to the floor and it's heard in the heavens. That's crazy. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. But so many sins that I've struggled to give up, like wearing hijab more properly, feeling ugly in hijab, like having friends that are not getting me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or like just giving up sins in general. The way I've asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help me get rid of those sins, and why are they so much easier to get rid of now? Why are they so much easier to get rid of now? You have to utilize your dua. Okay, I'm going to pause because it's getting a little bit like lecture vibes and I don't want to lecture y'all because like y'all know, I am someone who is still trying every single day to be better. That is the goal and that's the theme of this podcast. So let me just say the next one that I wrote down. And it's just the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's in every heart. You imagine like, okay, when we're little, we hear all those stories about Jannah and how you don't even have to ask for what you want because guess what? The Lord already knows. You don't even have to say, can I have a mansion? Can I fly? Can I? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knows. So even in this life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knows what's in your heart. You, especially those of you who have like the shame and have like the, you're really sad, actually genuinely, sincerely sad about what you do, the sins you commit. That's such a good thing. And I didn't know this because I always had the shame about Salat when I was younger. I had so much shame. And like there was a time, and this is vulnerable, but there was a time when I was younger where missing Salat like didn't bother me. Like it didn't bother me. I didn't have the shame because I had done it so many times. But then as I was getting older and I was like someone who actually wanted to do better, I started having the shame. It came back. And I never knew that it was a good thing, but it literally shows your iman. Like, it shows that you have this desire to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do better. And so you need to eat that up. Like, you need to focus on that and actually use it as, like, a driving factor to do better in your life. So what I did back when I wasn't praying consistently is you have to find what works for you. So what worked for me in Salat, because I'm not going to tell you guys I struggled with Salat and then not tell you what worked for me. So one thing that worked for me is that I'm very like, okay, I hate when people say like, I'm so OCD about this because like people actually have OCD, so relax. But I do like things like fully, like, you know, like if I'm going to start a task, it's going to be at 6 o'clock, not 6:02 or 5:58. Like it's going to be exactly at six and I literally cannot start it any other time. And if I miss it, I have to start at like 6:15 or 6:30. Or like if I do something, like if I go to the gym and like I tell myself I want to go every day and I go the first 3 days, on the fourth day, if I don't feel like going, I don't want to break the streak. So what I did is me and my friend, shout out to Radwa, we did a Salat streak like a couple of years ago where like starting like January 2023, we started a streak where we were not going to miss a single Salat. As in, we were not going to go to sleep without all the five salats prayed. Guys, when I tell you that from going from like not praying consistently to doing that streak, I did not miss a single salat for like the first 2 months of that. Like I didn't miss, or 3 months, I think, of that streak. It was like the best feeling ever. It is so motivating to actually put in the effort and like do and like see the results, I guess. And I'm not telling you guys like overnight, like I just randomly started praying all five. No, like I would sometimes have to pray Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, and Isha all at night because I missed all of them. I missed all of them. Or like I would pray Fajr, but then Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, I had to pray together. And then I had to pray Isha. And it was so frustrating to have to do all of those prayers at the end of the day. But I did not want to break the streak. And doing that, I ended up being like, okay, I don't want to pray all of it at the end of the day. It gave me motivation to pray them on time during the day, to the point where it was not even that hard anymore. Like, it was not that hard. And yes, I could have lied to her and been like, yes, I did pray. But I didn't want to break that streak even with myself. And I'm someone that gets like a dopamine from completing a task or like doing something right. And so that was really, really, really helping me. However, I broke it and she didn't. Bless her heart. She did great. I ended up like after, I think it was like after Ramadan that year, I like had my period right at the end of Ramadan. So then I didn't pray for a while. And then when I came back, it was just so hard for me to get back into it. I don't know why it was so hard for me to get back into it, but it was really hard. And I just hated myself for that, to the point where, again, I let perfectionism stop me. And I was like, well, I broke the streak, so I'm not going to do it anymore. And that wasn't like a arrogant thing. It was literally like I felt like ashamed that I couldn't keep that streak up. But alhamdulillah, like at the time, I think I was getting to know my husband, and he was someone that was like, has not missed a salat since he was like freaking like 14. I don't even know. And mashallah, like I always had like a good envy of that, like not a bad one, like a good one, like almost like it inspired me so much. But I also felt bad because I was like, how am I like, why do I struggle so much with this? And I feel like this is like a universal thing. If you're like someone who struggles with hijab and you see people who don't, you're sure as heck gonna think, why do I struggle with it? Like, why is it so hard for me? That's exactly what I thought with Salat. Why is it so hard for me and not hard for others? Because I didn't really know many people that struggled with Salat the same way I did. So I felt like horrible about myself. But he gave me like a new mindset of like every single day counts. Like every single day is different. And also, you can die at any time. So I want to die on a day where I'm trying to do all five rather than having that perfectionism mindset of like, why would I do all five today if tomorrow I might not do all five. Girl, how do you even know you're going to live till tomorrow? Die in a state of doing better. Always, 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 always. And once I started really internalizing that I could die at any time, that really helped me think, today I'm going to do this many, and then tomorrow is tomorrow. I'll figure it out tomorrow. And then I just kept figuring it out tomorrow, figuring it out tomorrow, figuring it out tomorrow. To the point, and this is why young marriage is so like blessed, because if you marry someone like obviously on their deen, you guys help each other. So I helped him with different things and he helped me with these things. So like him pushing me helped me a lot. Obviously my mom when I was younger. All in all, dropping this idea that if I don't do the act perfect, I'm not going to do it. It's all the shaitan. And me and my sister always talk about this, but shaitan is a pick me girl. Like he is literally a pick me. Imagine begging people to be your friend. Imagine having to whisper in people's ears so that they listen to you. Imagine having no friends in hell so you want to bring people to hell with you. Are you kidding me? It's not going to be me. It's not going to be, because that's embarrassing. That's literally embarrassing. Me and my sister went back and forth, and that's why I'm so excited to make a podcast with her at the end of Ramadan. I'm really trying to do that, because we would go back and forth talking about like, imagine having no friends. Like, that's so embarrassing. All talking about shaitan, because it's really embarrassing, y'all. It's really embarrassing. He's given you nothing. And guess what? Guess what? After literally getting you to be his friend, after getting you to be his friend on the day of judgment, when you're like, oh, it wasn't my fault that I did this sin. It was his fault. He's literally not even going to back you up. He's literally going to say, I just told her, like, she's the one who did it. Are you kidding me? How embarrassing is that? Heck no. Heck no. Heck no. Be delusional, y'all. Shaitan is a pick me. Don't listen to him. He literally just wants you not to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants friends. Don't give him friends, okay? That's embarrassing for him, and it's embarrassing for you if you do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set up a beautiful religion. He said that he perfected the religion. Every time you have like some kind of anxiety or some kind of trial, there's a story for it. There's a verse for it. There's everything is like lined up for you. There's nothing that Islam cannot give you. You just have to learn about it. So that's why on my Patreon, I posted like a whole like thing about like my favorite lectures. I'm also going to post up my story after this on Instagram, because someone DM'd me that they wanted to see it, but they weren't on the Patreon. So I'm going to post it on the story, just because this is something that like I want you guys to have. It's just like the people and the lectures that like framed my mindset to be so much better than it was before. So Before I go, I also want to talk about the perfectionism with hijab, because this is such a big one. Why is it such a big one? Because hijab is literally the one act of worship that's visible. That's why people judge it so much. That's why there's so much hate around it. It is like, nobody hates on your salat, right? Whether you pray or you don't. Nobody hates on your Quran. Nobody hates on anything. They hate on your hijab because they can see it, right? And this is what makes it so hard for girls to put on the hijab. Why? Because they know that they're going to be scrutinized for everything. But I need y'all to know that's where your good deeds are going to come from. That's where your good deeds are going to come from. Wearing it even while people are bullying you. Wearing it even while people are telling you to take it off because you're not doing it perfect. Don't fall into the idea that you cannot put the hijab on or you have to take it off if you're not doing it perfect. Like I said, die in a state of trying. Is it better to die the day where you're thinking, I just can't wear hijab because I know I'm going to wear it wrong? Or die on a day where you wear it wrong with the want and desire and effort to do better the next coming days? You want to die on the second day, babe. You want to die on the day where you're doing, where you're trying to do it better, right? Put on the hijab, even if you think you're not going to wear it right. And I don't care if people tell you, oh my God, your hair's showing, your neck's showing, don't wear that much makeup, your clothes are too tight. Yes, those are all true. But who cares? Who said that we're supposed to be, right when we start an act of worship, that we're supposed to do it perfectly, guys? Did I start with my salat perfectly? No. Did I start with my hijab perfectly? No. And alhamdulillah, I can say that I'm at a much better place than I was years ago. Y'all saw the TikToks I used to post, the audios I used to use. Like, I had my hair out, I had my neck out, I had like vulgar audios. Like, astaghfirullah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me for this. Please say ameen. But had I had the idea that I had to take the hijab off because I was not doing it perfectly, I would have never got to the place I am now. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes things easier when you put in the effort. You know what I mean? You guys know, call upon me and I'll respond to you. Walk to me and I'll run to you. You know it. You ask why, like, or these things are so hard for you, right? Hijab, salat, and all these things. Because are you making an effort? Are you making an effort? Because once you make the effort, I promise you it will become easier. Whenever I used to pin my hijab, I felt so ugly, honestly. Like, half the time I felt ugly. The times I didn't feel ugly, I would like unpin it. But I tried my best to start pinning my hijab and covering my neck as much as I could. I didn't like it, y'all. And now I can tell you guys comfortably, I don't mind. I don't mind. And why don't I mind? Because I put in the effort, and alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it easier for me. Like, there is no one to give credit to except for Him. He will make things easier if you become closer to Him and you put in the effort to do better. So, that being said, this is the episode where we go down with perfectionism. We don't like it anymore with your work, with your worship, with your friends, with your family. Like, we don't do perfectionism anymore. We are a self-improvement podcast, right? This community is all about self-improvement through Islam. So the biggest takeaway is that you can die anytime. So die trying. Die trying to do better and be 1% better every single day. Die in a state of trying. That's it. That's it. That's what helps me like motivate myself for anything that I try to implement or anything I try to give up. Obviously, I still have my struggles. I still have things that even when I try, it's still not easy, but I'm still going to push through, and I'm hopefully motivating y'all to push through as well. But that being said, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. The catch up was cute. The lecture part, sorry if it was a little intimidating. I didn't mean to be. I just get a little bit passionate, and I feel like this is something that I have struggled with so much, so I don't want you guys to struggle with it as well, or I want something to help you guys. Your guys have messages on Instagram and both my accounts on Instagram. It is so cute when you guys message me and you tell me how much you love the podcast, and I hope like I'm getting to as many people as possible, because I try to reply to a lot of DMs, but it is so motivating to me that you guys enjoy the podcast and that you say that it helps you, and that is literally the only goal I would have for this podcast. I hope on the day of judgment, when I'm standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I know my good deeds are not enough, that the impact of this podcast is what is one of the things that pushes me to Jannah. That's literally what I hope. So inshallah, that is the outcome of it, because that's the only reason I'm doing this podcast. I love talking to you guys. I hope you guys go join the Patreon, because I'm about to go record an episode for them. I love my little community, our little group chat. If you don't know what the Patreon is, it's basically another podcast that I have. It's like a close friends version of this podcast. So if you're someone that wants more episodes, someone that wants like deeper topics or more vulnerable topics, then you basically ask me in the group chat and I got you, and I'd be making those episodes for them, sharing my favorite links to things, iBio links, lecture links, all that stuff. So that being said, I hope you guys enjoyed the episode, and good job and good luck on the rest of Ramadan, because I know y'all are doing great. And if you don't feel the vibe yet, don't fret. We still have 3 weeks, but every day try to feel the vibe. Every day try to feel the vibe, because I also, like, I feel like being on TikTok or, like, doom scrolling has been stopping me from feeling the vibe. Like, it low-key sometimes feels like every other day. Like, it doesn't even feel like Ramadan. And I feel like it's because of what we're consuming on social media. So my advice to you and myself is surround yourself with more Islam. Like, make this a very, like, delusional, like, ideal month. That way we can come out of it even better than we came into it. So hope your week one went well. This is our week one check-in, and I will see you guys at the week two check-in. Okay, bye.